It's time once again for the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva. Here's your host, Kenny B.
Welcome, sports fans. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. What's going on, Josh?
Ken, how are you?
Good, buddy. How are you? I know you probably did a bunch of homework on this World Cup stuff, didn't you?
You know, I did. You know, we do everything on Sportsline the last couple of weeks. I think we've talked about this before, but as with horse racing and some other sports, I'm not too keen on, you could consider me, sort of your cliche American sports fan in the sense I'm not real big on soccer. I know how popular it is globally. I can't get behind it no matter how hard I try, but World Cup comes around every 4 years. Of course, it's a huge event. It's huge for all the sports media, so we had to cover it, and we did previews on every single match. I was assigned more than my fair share of matches to delve into. There's no other choice. You just start reading up on all the info on the teams, and you supply the odds and everything, and I will say I'm better informed than I probably ever have been for the World Cup, which isn't saying much.
All right, we'll actually dig into a little bit of the World Cup a little bit later. Independent handicapper Mark the Kid Vestby.
I love the World Cup.
Mark the Kid Vestby.
I've bet every game of the World Cup so far.
Have you really?
Yeah. I bet Russia. I won my Uruguay bet in the 90th minute today. I lost my Morocco bet in the 90th minute today. And I won my over in the Portugal-Spain game
in the first half. Oh, in the first half?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, over 2.5. It was 2-1.
2-1? Wow.
At halftime. Or do they call it halftime soccer?
Yeah.
Anyways, I bet every game in the World Cup. Why not?
Mark,
it's a lot of fun.
You literally are probably the biggest degenerate gambler I know.
Yes, if you take the last 2 weeks just as an example, we've got French Open.
Listeners, let's see what Mark's bet on in the last 2 weeks, Josh. Let's go over this. So I'm going to mark these down. Okay, we got the tennis. Did you bet
French
tennis?
French Open.
That's one. Soccer?
Oh, yeah.
College baseball?
Oh, yeah.
Pro basketball?
Oh, yeah.
NBA? Or not,
of course.
Major League Baseball?
Yes.
WNBA?
Nope. Women's softball, though.
Women's softball, okay.
There's another obscure one there. Well,
oh, horse racing.
Horse racing.
You bet the horses.
Oh, I definitely bet
the ponies.
I had Justify.
We're up to seven. What else could
I don't think there's much else.
Did you bet UFC boxing?
No, I almost bet the boxing match that Josh liked, but I wasn't sure.
Golf?
Exactly,
we forgot golf.
Oh, I bet golf for sure.
CFL?
Matchups?
College football?
NASCAR?
I bet NASCAR. All right. What about Canadian football? Is Canadian football even?
No, but I want to. I looked at it. I will.
He wants to.
I will.
So, Josh, is it easy to say that he's the most degenerate gambler you know?
Baseball.
Well, Ken, I think there's something of a moving target of a title. I think it's one that, it may well apply to Mark, but at any given week, it could be any one of us. You know what I mean? That's me. If you check, for instance, our mobile app account history for all of us, there are times where, I think we all go on our share of benders. Itinerary you just listed of all the sports, it's pretty impressive, but I think I've had some runs like that. I think we all have, but
I credit the sports books, Josh, because I wouldn't have bet the Nadal match because he's minus 450.
Oh, tennis.
But now they make him minus 6.5 games, minus 110, then you're bet, or minus 120, then you're in action.
So you said you're regularly firing up the app is what you're saying?
Right, so I laid the 6.5 and I won by a hook.
So
you like that.
So the current count, I'm actually pulling up my William Hill.
It's almost 10.
I have you at 10 right now.
I think that's about
right. I
have
you at 10 different sports.
That's within the last 8 days.
Oh, hockey.
Oh, I definitely bet
on
hockey.
So you got basketball, hockey, baseball, tennis, pro football.
And the main ones, of course.
Women's WNBA, soccer, golf, UFC, boxing. Oh, yeah. College football.
But you didn't bet the UFC. I thought you said you didn't.
No, I wanted to.
He stays away from the combat sports.
I heard you guys talking about a couple matches last week I was going to get involved in, but I just didn't do it.
We bet a six-teamer, went 5-1. And lost the biggest favorites. So with that,
that's how that stuff works. Yeah. Obviously, the biggest favorites don't win a lot.
I like those plus money parlays, whatever. Sometimes mix them in with one. There are times where it seems inevitable. Mark, we do these things like four teamer, three plus money ones. Right? It's nice plus 220. It's going to be this huge payout. Then you lost was the one spread pick. Minus 110. It's like, wait, you hit the three hard ones, blew it up on one that theoretically should
baseball
be easier.
Baseball's famous for that. Your minus 220 Kluber bet, like tonight, he's down 4-0. So if you got anything with Kluber, you probably hit all those except that one.
With that being said, the William Hill Mobile Sports app is where it's at, Mark. It allows you to, you wouldn't go to a brick and mortar and probably make these wagers, but when you're sitting at home on the couch, it's coming, it's on TV, and it makes it so easy. So download the William Hill Mobile Sports app at www.williamhill.us. Just come in and make a deposit, get your account on file, and you too can be a degenerate just like Mark.
I mean, the in-play the other night with the Astros and A's. The Astros just
we were playing golf.
Hitting. I bet it like six times, and it went over every one except for the very last number.
We were playing golf.
So you go 5-1. That was
pretty good. We were playing golf on Tuesday night, and the Astros played the A's. A's scored first, and Kid goes, this is where I like to fire on the Astros. Before he could get the bet in, the Astros tied it up and went ahead. So with that being said, Mark, he was headed there. He was trying to get it.
Yeah, when they get down 1 or 2-0, Josh, I love to bet the Astros right away.
Nice.
Get a good price on
it. Yeah, that money. I mean, the end game for baseball, you're right, is huge. It tends to give you the best price if you want on the favorite or, you know, regardless. Sometimes you can pick up a big deficit. Say the underdog is up, you know, down 5-0, and you're like, all right, take +4.5, right, for the last 4 innings. You're like, hey, they need to score one. Sometimes you get good value going on either way. But, Ken, speaking of degenerates, you guys know, I'm sure, have you ever had this feeling? But I get this a lot. I'm sure we all do it, but it seems like sometimes you kind of stand out. But you're at, like, that UNR football or basketball game, and you're just, yeah, fiending for your action. We're like, there's some huge second-half line you're trying to get a piece of, but you're up there at the football stadium, and there's no you're
reception.
Not getting your reception. Right. So you hit the bet you want, and the thing's spinning around, and they're about to kick off, and you're, you're holding your phone up at 20 different angles, just hoping that bet goes through. Feel like a bit of a degenerate. No one knows what you're doing. Like, why is he freaking out, jumping up and down with his phone?
I run upstairs and have an usher. I said, listen, I got to make a bet to let me outside to get better reception and let me back in the, you know, give him like $5. And I said, dude, I'm just going to stand on the other side of the door. I got to get my halftime. You know, we made a lot of money last year betting packing over in the second half. I mean, that was one of our, you know, one of our little honey holes. You know, the books caught on to it eventually. But every game, every home game, packing over. Every road game, packing over. And then we parlay it. You know, I parlayed occasionally, but packing over, second half. And I'm telling you, listeners, it probably hit, Mark, 80% clip.
It was.
Later in the year, Nick did catch on to it, and he was making, you know, the numbers real high. So, but anyways, you know, with all that being said, you know, it's packing over last year, packing over.
We lost a couple in a row, but it was like 8 out of 10, though, or something, you know.
So,
yeah.
Triple Crown, Mark, you had Justify. Talk about that a little bit.
Oh, Justify. I mean, did you bet the horses, Josh?
I did, and I, as I often do, came away with nothing to show for it because I actually took some advice from people who are actually pretty knowledgeable, but especially when it comes to the Belmont, right, it's like there's never any value on the favorite, and it's usually when it's the favorite doesn't win, it's often won by a big underdog. So I just took a flyer on a couple of dogs that were presented to me, huge underdogs. I just put, like, you know, $20 to win on both of them, and they didn't even get close, so.
Yeah, the biggest bet I made was a straight bet on Justify, you know, but it almost paid even money. But I had the 1-4 in an exacta, and Gronk snuck in there, and I had a trifecta and a superfecta, and the only horse I didn't have was the Gronk horse. What am I thinking about? I'm a Patriot fan. I should have the Gronk horse in there. So that would have paid a pretty good penny. Kenny got a piece of the superfecta. Would that pay?
I invested $320, picked six horses and wheeled them $1 away, and we ended up hitting the super. But you know, it goes back to when I went to the cash window. I go, man, I'm gonna be lucky to get my $300 back right here, you know, because you know when you get what did he go off at? Probably 5-6. Did he go off at
exactly?
That?
It was you're right. It's worse than even money price.
Yeah, worse than even money. When you get and everybody's going to have Justified in their rotation. So when he came in first, I thought, you know, there's a. I'll be lucky to get my money back. So, you know, we hit the trifecta on the Derby, lost money. We hit the super, in the second race and won some crumbs. And then in the last race, so you, to my surprise, Josh, you know, I bet $320. I think is what it cost to wheel. It was $320 or $340 to wheel my six horse rotation for the final race. And my thinking there was I really didn't think Justified was going to win the race. I actually thought that, you know, the second race, you know, if there would have been another 20 or 30 yards, I thought that he would have gotten caught and got beat. So I kind of thought, well, I don't think he's going to win this race. So I took these horses and I thought, well, I thought Gronk's going to be, you know, take the lead. He's going to be the pace horse. So I got him in my rotation. And I thought that if we could get one of these long shots on top, we could really get paid. Really get paid. So, you know, we hit the super, and I walk up and give him my ticket, and it paid like $1,050.
Because Gronk went off at 24-1.
Yeah, but he only paid $12 to place.
I know, I mean, but that, in a six, that, in the rotation though.
But that's what I'm saying is nobody had the combinations, I guess, of the horses that we did, so it increased the prize pool and the payout. So
once the pool is less, then you can.
So
make a little
so
more.
When I mean to my surprise, I was like, holy cow! I mean, you know, pick up, you know, $700.
That's a nice surprise when you go up there thinking you're.
going to win 300.
Get about even.
And I look at it, I go, holy moly.
Yeah.
So it's hard to figure out with all the combinations, though. You really don't know until you walk up there.
Yeah.
So some of those bets.
You know, I have some horse guys that I follow, you know. And,
horse
you know,
guys.
And so, you know, this is how I bet the races. I call Chris Andrews, who is one of the better horse handicappers, you know, in my opinion, in the world. And, you know, and he gives me his horses. Robert Kowalski gives me his horses. Nick Bogdanovich, he gives me his horses. There's a guy named Mark that gives me his horses. And another guy gives me his horses. And I just see kind of what matches up. Take the consensus. Take the consensus of the horses and wheel them.
Yeah. Ken, and the strategy you mentioned, I used to do that quite a bit myself. Like I said, it's can be a dangerous proposition. All those different combinations, it ends up a pretty hefty investment. Like I said, sometimes you're be grateful if you get your money back or you take a loss. To me, the comparison, though, is to like a round-robin parlay, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you do a round-robin parlay, like, oh, this is pretty cool. That's why I don't play those anymore, because all these combinations, but they cost you a lot. You go, oh, 4 out of 6 on my, you know, round robin, this isn't so bad. Then you realize you actually lost money. Like, yeah. It pays out less than, you're like, wait, what is this? So I've done the same thing with the horses. I was just telling Mark, I try to, you know, kind of simplify my strategy and just fire a couple just win bets on the huge underdogs that I heard were, you know, viable, and it didn't even come close. But you're right. That's the thing, though. Gronkowski with the second place, that's the one that's, you know, through the roof that most people didn't have.
He ran dead last. He ran dead last.
I thought he was going to finish last.
Yeah, exactly. He was running dead last. And I read a little bit about Gronk, and they said that the Gronkowski horse, is they thought that he was going to come out and set the pace. And so my thought was, if he can come out and set the pace, maybe there's a chance that he holds on, and maybe he can win. Maybe Justify gets tired out a little bit. Right. So that's the reason I kept him in my rotation, you know, and I got lucky, you know, I got lucky for him to come in, come second, you know. So anyways, that's my, you know, Josh, you're right. It is kind of expensive, you know, to bet 320, 340 on a race, but yeah. I only bet 3 horse races a year.
Right.
It's not like
right.
I'm in, you know, every race, you know, trying to do that, or every week, you know, I bet 3 horse races a year.
Yeah. And you're throwing combinations together. So you figure you're going to get a piece of something. So you don't figure you're going to just lose your chunk of change.
In addition, I usually don't fire as much on the Derby as I do the other 2 races, because it's the first race. I don't have anything to base anything on.
Yeah, exactly, Ken. It's not bad. You know, as you mentioned, if you're going to be sort of a spot better, so to speak, and just jump in there on the big ones, it's not a bad, you know, kind of catch-all strategy that probably, you know, you might win a little like you did, but probably also spares you from, like, huge losses because you do have such varied action.
Yeah, so it's exciting. So that's my little – and congratulations – on the horse winning the Triple Crown. I mean,
yeah, and he went wire to wire, which is pretty sweet. And I agree with you, Ken. That's one thing I have noticed, too. And I will, from what I read up on or what I hear from, you know, other people, that horse that they always say is known to really start fast, but then he fades. That's one I always want to keep an eye on. Because, like I said, sometimes they just don't fade. They get a taste of that lead and just keep going. That's always a good underdog to look toward. But I, you know, in the longest race, I was impressed because lots of people, you know, lots of those horses were sort of bearing down for that long of a race. Justify just go wire to wire. And it was close at the end.
Rested horses.
Way to go.
Rested horses, and you know their claim to fame is they want to beat the horse, you know, that has a chance to win the Triple Crown. I mean, obviously it's a huge race. I mean, of course they want to win the race, you know, and a short field too. So with that being said, you know, it was an exciting race, you know, and I was lucky to pick up, you know, $700.
Well, in the one position you had to get out front, but it's tough to get out front and just stay there the entire race. So that was interesting that it came down that way.
Yeah. So all right. So that's my horse racing story.
Breeders' Cup. We don't have to talk horse racing until November.
Yeah, I always probably put a little bit of money on the Breeders' Cup too. I mean, nothing like this because I have no interest in doing that. So, but I have some money on the Breeders' Cup, something somewhere somehow, you know, a little bit of money. But you know,
well, they have that bet if you pick all 7 races, whatever.
The pick 7.
Pick 7, you get a nice little bonus.
Yeah.
On top of winning all your races.
So I don't know that much about horse racing, so I wouldn't know how to do that. So. What else, Josh? What did you bet anything this week?
Well, I told you I took a shot at a couple U.S. Open golfers, both of whom, well, one for sure missed the cut, and I got to look Jordan Spieth. I thought 18-1. I told you, Ken, his name stands out to me in terms of that sort of value. But the odds makers obviously know what they're doing. It's like, you know, he's been 6-7-1 and some other ones. But I just thought with the pedigree that he's got, that's a good shot. So I took a couple shots. It looks like I'm going to have to probably redo my action for the weekend because it's the PGA, you know, the U.S. Open so far has just been wild. I mean, all kinds of golfers not getting anywhere near making par even.
I have a nice chunk of change on Johnson right now.
DJ, what'd you get him at?
Plus $9. Now, and he was the favorite.
Yeah, the favorite at 9-1.
You usually don't get value like that. It's the only reason I bet it.
The number one golfer in the world at 9-1?
Yep, and it's the only reason I bet it because usually those golfers that are favored for these are usually in the 4 or 5 or 6-1 range.
Yeah.
They had him plus $9, I think just because of U.S. Opens are a little more wide open. They didn't have a, you know, a finger on who the actual real favorites were, so that kind of helps in the pricing. But you get the number one player in the world who just won the last tournament, and he's playing really well. He's won a couple already this year, and he's plus $9. I mean, I just had to put it on it, not for any other reason than the value. You always talk about value on the show, and that was just – it jumped out at me. So
of course.
I mean, now we can play off a little bit with the matchups and stuff a little bit. I can, you know, try to hedge it a little bit, but I feel pretty good about it. I mean, he's got a four-shot lead.
We're going to get into all that in the second segment of the show. So, you know, a lot of, you know, U.S. Open, you know, we'll kind of give you some Tiger updates. You know, I played two matchups, and I'll kind of give you the outcomes on that, which if you follow us on our Facebook page, you probably already know how they ended. You know, our Facebook page is Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. You know, we post a lot of stuff on there, a lot of tickets. And I posted my two tickets on there, Josh, for my matchups, you know, before they even started. You know, I bet $100 on two matchups. So, you know, and like I said, I posted them before
yeah, right.
If you wanted to sweat them, you know. So.
And Ken, one little, you know, shout out in terms of, you know, there's something we don't do all that often in terms of, you know, patting ourselves on the back or whatever. But after last week, said not only, you know, do we post these things in advance and no one can say, oh, you're blowing smoke. You said you had the winner after the fact. And, you know, we provide visual evidence ahead of time. But last week was pretty sweet, whereas we focused on that Cavaliers-Warriors game. Game four, went through all the props, gave our top picks, and pretty much rang the bell on everything. And we had some visual proof to show for it.
Listen,
yeah,
I posted the $10,000 wager on Mayweather to beat McGregor. I mean,
right.
I posted that. I mean,
right.
It was it like, oh yeah, after the fact. I mean,
would you win $7 for that?
No, like
just about.
No,
yeah.
I'm just
1,500.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more than that, Mark. But you're right.
I'm just kidding.
So there's and you know there's a big fight we're gonna talk about later too. Triple G and Canelo Alvarez. You know they re-signed and I have the odds on that. So
oh, good.
Let's head off to our first commercial break. We come back. We'll jump into the U.S. Open and some of these matchups and get some stories on that. So this is the Windmill Sports Show coming to you live from the Club Count Eva, ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the club.
I think we're on. I didn't hear the lead-in music, so hopefully we're on. We'll just keep talking, so no matter what. Let's bet this. You know, they have this virtual horse racing here at the William Hill Racing Sportsbook at the Club County, but we always like to do this, so we're going to bet this. Basically, it's we call it racing for the lollipop. So we're all gonna pick. We got a minute and 30 seconds.
Who do you guys want?
I'll take.
Can I have two?
So we're gonna wager on this.
Boulder Highway.
Josh, who do you got? What numbers?
Number two.
Number two, kid. Who
do you got?
Take
the four horse.
Two, four. I'm gonna take the six and the seven.
We both get two.
Yeah, two.
All right.
Josh,
I gotta wait for the list.
No, you don't.
Come back
I just pick six and seven randomly. Just pick one.
No, I do it based on the names and everything. I need to see.
I need to see the
menu.
He's handicapping.
He's handicapping. Okay.
He might not come back on for a minute.
All right, we've got time, though.
All right, with that being said, let's talk about – as soon as we get this – U.S. Open. Talked about my golf story. I had one matchup where I pushed yesterday. I was down one stroke. I got the six and seven. I got the six and the seven. Kid, you got the two and the – four
two and
one.
Eight. Two and eight.
Two and eight. And Josh?
Ten.
Four and ten. Okay. All right.
We're all betting this.
We're betting this. Even the board guy's in. You want in? What numbers do you want? Somebody's already got the four. You can pick. Here, you can pick. You got 30 seconds. You can pick any horses other than those
but
horses.
Can you transpose them, though? I got two and ten.
You got who? You get to pick two horses, bud.
And Mark is four and eight.
Okay. Listen, I got six, seven. That's all I know. Josh, you take care of. You got who? You got nine and one. All right, good deal.
There you go.
All right, we're in action. We're in action. Everybody throw their cash on the table. All right, with that being said. I was down one stroke going into 18. My opponent bogeyed the hole. My guy parred the hole for a push, so I got that money back. In the second matchup, I thought that I had won. It looked like a cigar matchup. I can't remember who it was. Kisner, Stanley versus Kisler, I think is what
Kisner.
It was. No, it's Kisler. K-I-S-L-E-R. Okay, we can look it up, and we can wager on that, too.
maybe there's a guy named Kisler. I've never heard of him in my life.
But with that being said, I'm going to look it up because I have the golf right here. With that being said, Mark, you know, it's and I've done this before, and it drives me crazy. I inadvertently bet the matchup for them to win the tournament, not the daily matchup. Yeah. So here I am thinking that –
You got to look at that carefully.
I'm doing it real fast, you know, and so I'm thinking that, you know, I went one win and one push, You know, I bet $100 on him. I posted them on the website, Josh, on our Facebook page before the match. I bet $100 on both of them, and I thought that I went 1-0-1 and you know picked up some money. And then I'm going, why isn't this great? And so I went back and looked at it, and it was for the tournament matchup, not the daily matchup. So when you're betting golf, listeners, make sure that you're betting the daily matchups. If you're getting it, the one he won, it's already over. Dadgum, there you go, buddy.
He'll get six with two change tomorrow.
Yeah, kid owes you a dollar. Golly, that's crazy.
No, you just take the six and give him two. So, right?
He needs four change. He needs four change. You got another dollar? There you go.
You got
There's your money, Mark. There's your change.
That was nice. You got two of the three.
Yeah, look at our board guy just taking the handicapping guy's money.
Totally.
We'll try this again in a minute.
All right, with that being said, so make sure that when you're betting these golf matchups, if you're betting for the day, you know, day matchups, make sure you look at the header, or if no header, it's for the tournament. So there I was, and then I still have a two-stroke lead going into today in my head-to-head matchup, thinking, you know, and my guy gets just blown up. You know, I lose by two strokes, so golly. Mark's trying to look up Kisner right now, I guarantee it.
Well, yeah, there is Kisner, I know that. I was looking for another guy. But anyways, that's the thing. I always look at those matchups and, you know, before the tournament starts, and they always have them just listed. But when you'll see the repeat names, then you know that that's when it changes over to betting it for the tournament versus betting it for that day. So that's just one thing to look for. But the golf matchups are fun. I mean, you get a couple guys going, especially in the last couple of days, bet some matchups. It just makes things a little more interesting, especially if you've got guys that are in the running that you've already bet to win the tournament. You can hedge a little bit. You can, you know, just position yourself a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to go.
Plus, it's just a way to keep yourself in the action with a good chance to win. Like I said, you can take a shot after every day with the reset tournament odds, which is fine, too. But on the final day, like I said, you'll know what all the pairings are. And you're right. Just pick one guy out of the pairing, you know, root him on against his opponent, whatever. That's a pretty cool way to, you know, stay in action until the end. And as you do, same thing with, like, the in-game basketball. It doesn't matter, like, you know, so-and-so is running away with the tournament. That could be irrelevant to what you've got. We're like right down to the final hole. You're still paying attention to whether your guy makes par or whatever to knock out, you know, the matchup and beat the other guy.
Yeah, and we really missed out on some bets because they also have the, you know, what will their first round score be? Like Tiger over under 71.5, Thomas over under 70.5, you know, DJ, all these guys. There was like 11 of them, and everyone went under except one.
That was
a push.
Day one, the golf course won. And day one,
that's
the golf course won.
And you could have bet, you know, over par on all those guys and went swept the board because just the way the course played.
Tiger takes a triple. It was very anticlimactic. You know, I was excited to see Tiger play. Everybody knows if you listen to the show regularly that I have a big bet with Josh and a bet with me and Josh, and I have smaller bets with JD and Kidd also. But whether or not, you know, I bet Josh that Tiger Woods will not win another major. You know, and everybody's gonna say, well, how do you know when the bet's over? Use the word retirement. You know, and I thought we had him close a couple of times, but you know, so if he retires, Josh owes me money, if he retires without a major, Josh owes me money. If he and I even gave Josh a good price. I gave him 2-1, which I was out of my gourd thinking that. I was talking trash that day. But with that being said,
that day?
I think it's probably priced fairly right now because I still don't think Tiger's going to win another major. You know, if you look at the Open, he takes a triple on the first hole. And then he takes a bogey on the second hole, so two holes in, he's four back. He played pretty well there for a stretch after that. I think didn't he bogey 11 and 12 or something on the back also? So
first two holes of each side, he's struggled both days.
Yeah.
And that cost him. So what I mean.
So with all that being said, Tiger did not make the cut today. He's going to end up, the projected cut was right around +7. You know, Tiger shot, where it is, it's on this sheet right here. Tiger shot
+10, I think.
78 and 72. So 78, 72 finishes, you know, at +10. It doesn't make the cut, you know. Pretty sad, but, you know, going back to what you were saying too, Josh, Jordan Spieth, you know, he blew up too. You know, Jordan shot +9.
McIlroy, Day, all these guys, it was just a tough course. I mean, all the top players in the world are struggling except for DJ's kind of running away with it right now.
I just expected some sort of positive equity, right? You take Spieth at 18-1, even if he's 4 or 5 shots off, you know, the lead heading into the weekend. You're like, you know what I mean? He's not an 18-1 shot anymore. Suddenly, a couple days, and he's a poised guy who can come back. So I just thought That's all I wanted, was to be in position to where that bet had better than 18-1 value. Instead, it's in the trash can already.
I mean, I'll take Spieth 18-1 for any tournament.
Yeah, that's why I did it, but I fired a pretty nice bet on it. It can happen. Gone.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm with you guys. 18-1, I overlooked that. DJ to win the whole thing right now. You know, looking at this, Charlie Hoffman, he bogeyed 18. He was only one back. Now he's two back. You know, he's at minus one. DJ leading the field at minus three. DJ's even money right now to win it, Mark. Even money. You know, the field is 10-1. So, I mean, here you are talking about value, Mark. You know, you get DJ at plus, what'd you get him at, plus $8?
Plus $9, then plus $3 the next day.
And you can take the field.
Now
right?
You can get him even.
Oh, the field wouldn't be, that's the field, not versus DJ. The
What's Poulter at?
Ian Poulter?
He...
Right now?
He got within one. He got to minus three, but then he gave four strokes back in the last three holes.
30-1. Yeah. And you know what else is crazy,
he's
Mark?
Too.
Charlie Hoffman? He's two strokes back. He's 30-1.
Yeah, what has he done on Sunday's
right,
for us?
Say, you know what's funny? That's why they have no respect for Hoffman, because he's infamous for fading.
Yeah,
he's done this a lot, though, where he's near or at or near the lead.
It's value,
in the major
though.
One, and then
doesn't he break through?
He some? Ends up tied for 25th.
I want to bet whether they say his name on Sunday. Because
exactly.
He won't be there.
Exactly. Charlie is, he'll fade out. But nonetheless, Ken, like you said, implied maybe the one time he doesn't, that's a huge value, 30-1.
I think Rose is about the only one that can catch, or maybe Stenson. Those guys are going to be in it to the end, you know. But DJ, that's three or four stroke lead with that those conditions is pretty amazing.
Unless
he has a couple triple bogeys or something.
How many golfers will the field get you at this point? That's
what
I
about Piercy? Piercy's in third, 40-1. 40-1. I mean, there's some value here,
there
guys.
There definitely is, yeah.
I mean, DJ, you know, he shoots par tomorrow. Somebody shoots two under, and now we're looking at a Sunday matchup.
Well, just anybody can – you can get a snowman on any of these holes, you know what I mean? You can get quads or
I'm going
three
to
and four strokes lost in one hole if you – You know, so I mean, it can happen. That's why those 30 and 40-1s are more valuable than most tournaments would be.
I'm going to go on the break. I'm going to bet $20 on Hoffman and Piercy. I'm going to take Hoffman at 30-1, and I'm going to get Piercy at 40-1, and I'll post those tickets. I mean, just it's value. I mean, all you need is a call. And there's
Hoffman
a chance.
Has let you down twice on Sundays now. You're going to go for a third time.
Yeah, only because I can complain about it.
He usually lets you down earlier
than
Sunday, right? He usually falls apart on Saturday.
Kenny and I had Hoffman with a five-stroke lead.
This is the true story.
With a really, really good bet. And this guy lost five strokes in the first three holes.
Yeah.
And was not around by the turn. Wasn't even in the running.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, yeah, this is true.
Kenny and I are like, we got a five-stroke lead, you know.
Yeah, here we go. Five-stroke lead going into Sunday.
Maybe he had some action. You know, he's Phil Mickelson's, like, gambling buddy. So something
Phil.
To always to keep
it in. It was only worth, like, 500 for me and probably a grand for Kenny. No big deal.
Yeah, that's all.
You know, but then he just faded on the final day.
Nick doesn't quite have the golf matchups out. But
maybe he'll get it back for you.
They'll be exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm taking the second and third place golfer right here and getting 30 and 40-1. You know, I can turn $20 into 800 or 600, just like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't see the matchups now, check a little later, because they do go up, you know, 8 or 9 tonight.
And here's the deal, Mark. If I can get into the pairing with DJ on Sunday,
of course,
they're going to match those two up. Then I can bet DJ on Sunday, or I can bet DJ on Sunday versus him in the matchup.
It's my favorite thing to do. Pick a couple golfers up front. If one of them's in the running, you do the matchups. You protect yourself. There is hedging in golf, because you can position yourself in these ways by doing that.
DeChambeau is 150-1. How many backs is DeChambeau?
I
don't understand.
Maybe.
He's plus five.
Yeah,
he's
plus
nine
five.
Strokes back. Why does Nick got him up there? There's Mickelson, 125. Where's the Mick at?
Plus seven.
Phil Mickelson. He's plus seven? Man, and he's only plus 125? Good Lord. He got 11-stroke lead over him. I think that's more of a 300-1 shot. Josh?
Yeah, very likely. But, okay, I like what you're doing, by the way, by spreading out some money on both of them, because it's one of those things where, you know, it's almost like a round robin for yourself, even though you don't get to mix them up. But the point being is there's pretty big odds on two guys that, you know, one of them might fade or whatever. But the point is, if just one of them's left standing by Sunday, you know what I mean? The value stands for both. You've done the work.
What if DJ twists his back?
Yeah, he could. There's a nice staircase in the condo he's staying at. Yeah.
Did he do that before?
Right.
where he
fell down,
he
quote
slipped?
Unquote, fell down the stairs and Yeah.
I mark it. I'm using it to read.
No, but it's.
Well, then close your eyes. So we're going to be – I want to bet these two golfers on the break, Charlie Hoffman and Pierce, him getting 30 and 40 to 1. I'll post those on our website too. So with that being said, you know, Nick doesn't have the – Nick will have all the golf matchups up. He's probably working on it right now. I'm actually on the William Hill mobile app right now.
I think what they wait for a lot is the pairings, you know, because they want to let you bet the matchups for the guys that are paired together.
So –
You know what I mean? They're easy to figure out
right.
now.
So you don't have to wait.
It's still,
so the TV cameras pan to your guy. You're right.
Exactly.
They do it with the group that they're already
in.
Oh,
I see what you're saying.
Which makes sense. So you can follow them easy.
FedEx Cup. DJ right now is 5-1.
Thomas is leading, right?
Justin Thomas, he's 9-1.
Yeah, he's the leader right now.
But if DJ wins this, he'll probably take the lead.
Yep.
With that being said, you know, I'm just looking at this. Roy's 850. Jordan Spieth's 12-1. Interesting stuff.
I think that's pretty good value because DJ right now is playing – he's just playing better than everybody else. And Spieth is struggling a little bit. Thomas isn't – you know, he's kind of here nor there. You know, a lot of these guys, there's like Kisner's up there. There's a couple other guys, Patton Kazeri. So there's different golfers up there that aren't going to be there in the end. And even the guys that are – you know, there's no Rory, there's no Day. Day was up there a ways, but he's struggling now too. So some of these guys, you know, I think there, even though it's 5-1, I think there is value in Johnson just because he's clearly playing better than anybody right now. I know Phil's up there too, and he's had a good year, you know, but Mickelson's not going to win the FedEx Cup, I wouldn't think, you know, because he does struggle from time to time. But just for the way DJ's playing right now, I think 5-1 is a good bet.
I just bet it. Actually, I don't even know why.
I like it. I'm gonna bet it after the show.
I don't know why. I just bet on my mobile sports app. I'm waiting for the approval right now.
Because you can.
Okay, here we go. Piercy's in at 40-1, $25 pays $1,025, and Ian Poulter's in right now at 30-1, and it pays $775. All right, good deal. I'm going to take a picture of that. I'm going to post that on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. So yeah, I love betting golf. I mean, it's just. You know, I love matchups. I love everything about golf right now. I mean, I'm really fired up about betting golf.
Well, you get to a Sunday with a couple of your guys in the running, a couple matchups. I mean, it's a good watch for a few hours. And you can make some good money because, you know, if you position yourself right and you get some of these guys at pretty good odds, I mean, you know, you can turn 20 into 1,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, hopefully that's what we're going to do. Just get a call. I mean, even wiggle room. I mean, just wiggle room. I mean, if I'm excited. I'm fired up. All right.
Ken, who was the guy in the last tournament you doubled down on? The guy who was up 5 strokes or whatever? They saw plus 150 on the dude?
Oh, going into Saturday, we had a 5-stroke lead. Mark actually called me on the way to work.
Yeah.
And remember, who was that, Mark?
It was a couple tournaments ago. I'm trying to think of who we were.
But kid says, hey, you know, this guy's got a 5-stroke lead, and what did I get him at, 15-1 or something?
Yeah. No, not that much.
You got him at like plus 150 to win, but he's up 5 heading into Saturday.
That's plus 150.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was up 5 strokes heading into Saturday, and I think I bet 500 on it or something like that, Mark?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, and he ran away with it.
Yeah. So I mean, I take a 5-stroke lead. I mean, you're talking about value. That's the reason you have the William Hill mobile app right there. I mean, you get value right there. I mean, I'm just looking. I go, if he fades, I'll just bet against him.
That's why I try to call you when I see some of these things, but sometimes they don't pan out, but sometimes, I mean, it's like – The value is there.
Yes.
Like I said, again, back to the value thing that we talk about.
All right. Let's head off to our next commercial break. When we come back, we still got lots of sports to talk about. This is the William Hill Sports Show coming to you live from Club Cal Neva on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
We're back here at the Club Cal Neva on ESPN 94.5 FM. I'm your host, Kenny B., here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. You can get all his stuff at Sportsline. Just go to sportsline.com, and Josh's stuff's there.
Yep, thanks, Ken. And you're right. Like I said, we got everything up there, World Cup, golf, daily baseball, and even futures for, you know, NBA, college football, most sports books as well right now, right? All the NFL stuff, week one spreads are live, so we got pretty much everything covered.
And I like Belgium to win the World Cup.
And on Twitter, and Josh Nagel won on Twitter.
Yeah,
Josh,
thank you. And, Mark, that's not bad. Like, of the research I've done and of the – favorites I've seen, they're sort of like a moderate, you know, they're not at the top of the betting board. They're about 9-1.
Value.
Yeah, and all the research I've done suggests that there are quite a few soccer nuts or whatever. I think that's a pretty good, you know, they're going to have a pretty good shot to get there.
Belgium to win it all?
Yeah.
Wow.
But they play Panama, I think, on Monday. One of the biggest mismatches, though, of the first round. They're like a minus $7 favorite.
What's the price?
But you can bet a minus 2.5 goals and
you
lower
that. You could do that.
Actually, it's minus 2, I think.
What's the price on Belgium to win it all?
Plus $9.
To win it all?
9-1. That's correct.
Wow. Maybe I'll wager on that, too. I made my wagers. Posted them on our Facebook page, Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping, on our Facebook page. And I bet $25 on the second and third place golfers, took 30-1 and 40-1. So the tickets are there for proof that we wager. We wager. Golden State, you know, Josh, you were talking a little bit earlier, you know, about another ticket that I posted last week. You know, game four was of the NBA Finals, you know, Golden State versus Cleveland Cavaliers, and you know we swept the board there. And we, I mean, if you listen to the radio show, and we posted them too. And I bet $500 on Golden State at plus 225, minus 10.5 points. And I posted that ticket before the games too. Actually, I bet three tickets. I bet $200, $200, $100. I posted the two $200 tickets. But with that being said, you know, I thought that, you know, and it goes back to using. Sometimes you use bets. Other bets to make your decision on certain bets, meaning the highest point total that Nick put up in that game, or the highest, how many, what's the most points a team will be up in the game? Right. And he put it 16.
Largest lead.
Largest
prop.
Lead, that's what I'm trying to say.
16.5.
Yeah, 16.5, largest lead prop. You know, and I'm looking at that, and with Golden State being the favorite, you would think that Nick Bogdanovich, the head trader for William Hill, he thinks that it's probably going to be Golden State that'll at one time approach that 16.5 number. So what I did is I bet Golden State minus 10.5 at plus 225, knowing that if they got around that 16 number with my trusty William Hill mobile sports app in the in-game wagering, I could come back and play Cleveland and get a middle,
right?
Or just totally get off my bet. And so, but as it turned out, you know, we're at dinner and I'm watching, and you know, it's like a 3-point game. I don't know, with about a minute 30 left, you know, in the first half, and they hit three threes or something like that in a row. They go up by 9. They're up 9 at halftime, and you know, I said, you know, all right, you know, in the second half, they come out and score. I go, okay, I'm going to watch one more possession. They come out and score. Okay, I'm going to watch one more possession. They score again. Next thing you know, they're up 16, and I just kind of think about it, and I go, you know what? If they take my money here, they take my money here. But game three, from what I saw, the Cavaliers, they just cashed it in. They did. LeBron was beat down. He was fatigued. No matter, you know, he's probably
broken hand.
Well, we didn't know about that, but you know, but you could tell that he was just beat down. I mean, even the best conditioned athlete in the world, you know, he is one of them. You know, you could tell that he just didn't have the supporting cast, and he couldn't do it all himself. So, you know, I really thought the game went exactly the way we thought it would, Josh.
Yeah.
A beat down by Golden State.
I like that, Ken. And the double down was sweet, like, because as you mentioned on the air, you're right. That was sort of a foundation for the strategy, the over under on the largest deficit that was going to happen in the game. But then it was panning out, but Cleveland hung in there in the first half. We're like, yeah, we'd like a little bit bigger lead by halftime. But you and I are texting.
And
like,
it's 9.
But we're like, let's be careful about this. We're like, second half, watch, Golden State's going to come out with a little surge here, and then this is when we swoop in. But remember, you know, I'm texting you like the end game. Like, wait, we're getting 16.5, 17. Are you firing? You're like, oh, I'm not sure. You know what? I may just let this ride. Okay, all right, fine. But we stopped texting about it. So right at the end of the game, like, so did you lay off at all? That was the best thing ever. Not only did I not lay off, I doubled down before the game. Because I saw you made the 200 while we were here. I'm like, that's beautiful enough. But you're like, no, I doubled down on that before the game started. Never hedged. I'm like, how awesome is that? Because you could have, and not to mention, every single hedge would have lost. It got so far out of hand. They didn't offer a number high enough for you to, you know, tag the middle. Like, that's just sweet when you sort of just stick with it. But one thing I've often done, and the app allows that too, especially on something like that where, like, I like it. There's nothing worse than that remorse than when you win. Like, I knew about this. I should have bet more. And sometimes I'll do that now. Okay, I'll double down myself. And even if you lose, you're like, well, at least you didn't, you know, soft pedal the thing. So that was a sweet win.
So I bet 200 on the show after you know, I really wasn't even thinking about it, you know. I was looking at the props as we started talking about them, and I kind of convinced myself that I'm going to be able to get off of this bet. I'm not going to be stuck with this bet because Golden State's going to be up by 11 points at some time, and I'm going to have a chance to get off of this bet. And it's not, I'm not laying minus 110. I'm getting plus 225. So I mean, there's huge value there. And so, you know, and so I go make the bet, like you said, Josh, during the show. And then I start thinking about it. I'm going, man, I don't have enough on this. So then I bet another 100 or another 200. And then right before I leave, I come back and hit it again for 100 because I left my money in my truck. I probably would have had more, you know. But and I posted the tickets This is all.
But that's where the in-play now changes everything about the way you think about betting, because
it's changed.
You can make bets anticipating an in-play bet.
Yes, I do that
in fact,
all the time.
You do that with most bets
all the time.
And also, I think it also tells that these numbers they put up in these props and things like that, they're not just willy-nilly numbers. They're like, there's a reason for them. You know, that 16.5 was a decided number by people that know what they're doing. You know what I mean? So you can use that number to kind of get more information on other bets or to make other bets according to that.
Right, and that's what I was saying with the largest lead of the game being 16.5.
And that's where the in-play really changes things, you know, and helps you position yourself.
Yes, it's changed. It's honestly, Mark, changed the way I look at my handicapping. I don't – very seldom – this is the truth. Very seldom in the NBA do I bet a game just because I like it. I mean, just like – Boston -6. Like, oh, man, they're going to kill him. I do that a lot with totals, but not necessarily with sides. But I will do that a lot, Mark. I will position myself in a game. It's like the stock market for me. I'm going to figure out when to get off my wagers because I can do it right there. So.
Yeah, Ken, you're right. It's evolved so much to where that first bet, whatever, like you said, Boston -6, it's nothing more than a starting point. If you just want a little action, you're going to be busy somewhere, that's fine. You can just let it be. But if you have both the finances and the means by which to follow it, that's surely the way to go. So like I said, that might be the position you're starting with because you like it. But you're already thinking two steps ahead.
Yes.
So you're sitting there watching the game on ESPN or whatever, and you've got the app open, and you're thinking, how can I maximize this? And it's very rare. You can enhance your winnings, but we've also talked about, the converse of being able to lay off. It's very rare that you're unable to get out of a horrible bet, too, because you know what I'm saying. I mean, even if they start off, you're not liking this at all, there's probably a good chance that you can just find a way to get out of it.
Hey, well, keep this in mind, listeners. This theory, the way I do this, it really only works in the playoffs. Because the regular season, teams can take time. There's so many variables that can happen in the regular season, but in the playoffs, every game is important. I mean, no team's going to dog it in the playoffs. You might get a team in the regular season where a team dogs it, or they rest somebody halfway through the game, or something like that. At least in the playoffs, you know that the number they're putting up, you're going to get a supreme effort, an ultimate effort out of both teams when it comes to that number. So don't try this during the regular season. Playoffs. It's got to be the playoffs.
Well, one thing, too, is how many times do you go to the window or look on your app and you're like, oh, I love the Cavs tonight. But then you see the number, you're like, oh, man, that's 3 or 4 points higher than I was willing to lay. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you can wait, and maybe they start down 4-0.
Yes.
Then you get the line
you want.
First time out, you're laying
do.
2.5. Great. I wasn't going to lay 7. I'll lay the 2.5. Yeah.
And so if you don't bet it initially, maybe it starts out, and then if it doesn't go your way, you just don't bet it.
And Mark, do you think the hidden thing all year was with that, especially regionally here, was the Golden State Warriors? They were perfect because not only toward the end of the season did they start mailing it in, but with all their injury issues and the limited roster they often had, they would fall behind big against these teams where they're still 12, 13-point favorite against whoever, Memphis. It takes some poor team, Golden State's laying 13, 14. You didn't want to do that early on. But at the game, it's like tied or pretty close, or they've been down a few points. Like, how awesome is that? You're getting the game at like a pick-em. So they're -12 at halftime for the game. Oh, I'm going to lay 1.5.
Or even if you get them -4 when they're laying 12 or something.
Right. Even that, you were getting huge discounts all the time.
Discounts.
And sure enough, they'd come back to cover the original number most of the time. Yeah. But even if they didn't, who cares? They won by 10 and you were clearing it easy.
Right. We did that the other night, Josh. They were down. We were laying 12.5. They were down at halftime because we were sneakers watching this game, Mark. So I had a significant bet at -12, I believe is what it was. They were
I know
down,
the game you're talking about.
They were
Houston.
Down. They were down. Exactly. They
game 6 against Houston.
And they were down like 10 at halftime, and so they made the number for them to win the game. So I made the same bet, and it was 4 digits. It was at least $1,000. I'm dead honest because Mark knows saw my tickets. So I bet it at halftime just for Golden State to win the game. Not only did they win the game, they cover the 12.
Yeah, so, Houston got 25 for an entire.
Not only
half.
That, they covered easy.
Yeah, that
was a good night.
And it's worth noting too. What a crazy game! Because not only did Houston fall apart, but even though they couldn't make a shot, it was still like tied going into the fourth. I mean, it still wasn't a sure because third quarter was very defensive oriented.
Well, it was like 67-25 second half. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. So, listeners, what we're trying to do is educate you on how to use the William Hill Mobile Sports app and taking everything into consideration in your wagering. It's not wagering, handicapping, and betting. It's just not about looking up and saying I like X tonight.
And if you're serious about betting now, like you have to. learn how to do the in-play right. You have to learn how to use it to your advantage.
Watch it.
And watch it and learn how to use it as a tool because, I mean, you know, if you're not, then you're just throwing money away.
And, you know, and another thing that we do real quick, you know, let's talk about baseball real quick. When you get these teams that lay $2 and $3, you know, you catch Kluber, I don't know, you know, and they're at home. They're at home. If the other team scores first, get the app.
Exactly. And suddenly, boom, half-price discount.
Half-price discount, exactly.
110 to win the rest of the way.
Exactly. And that's the huge value that Mark's always talking about.
And another thing I was just telling Josh about on the break.
Especially offensive-orientated teams, not teams like Kansas City, teams that hit the ball.
Yeah, you know they're going to get their runs.
Yes.
Also, I like to take in that same kind of train of thought is you get a pitcher like Lester or someone like that, they get through the first inning. You know what I mean? And if you don't catch some of these guys early and they get comfortable, they're lights out the rest of the game. Lester's one of those guys. You don't get him first inning. Arrieta, you don't get him first inning, two, whatever. You can make in-play bets at a lesser price, get him, or even go minus a run and a half if you want, or whatever, to get a better number. But you know he's not giving up runs after that.
In addition, Mark, if Lester's minus 260 and you get a scoreless first inning, he's going to come down. It's coming down.
Yeah, or you can just bet a minus run one and a half knowing that he's not giving up any runs.
Yeah.
Or maybe one run.
Yeah, exactly. Crazy. So lots of betting angles we like to cover. So with that being said, make sure you download the William Hill Sports app at www.williamhill.us. Like we said, it's a full service. Everything that you can bet at the brick and mortars, you can bet on the William Hill mobile sports app. Not only that, it makes in-game wagering a lot easier too. You know, in-game wagering, you know, for the listeners that aren't familiar with it, it basically is an updated line in real time. So if, you know, a team it's not the opening line, it's the in-game line. So they're actually, Nick and these guys will actually put a number up in the middle of the game.
Yep. Again, like you said, it's just it's like a constantly moving target that becomes the spread from that point on. So sometimes, you know, instantly, like just to use your baseline example, so Celtics minus six, they come out, you know, they're up, whatever, 10 at halftime. Suddenly, the in-game for the rest of the game, it's, you know, minus 10 and a half,
yep,
minus 11.
There you go.
It's just, it's a adjustable spread based on what we've seen so far.
Absolutely. So make sure you download the William mobile app at www.williamhill.us. We're going to go off to traffic, so we'll be back after these messages.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Calneva.
Welcome back. ESPN 94.5 FM. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel and independent handicapper Mark Vespi. 89436. That's our zip code. I'm pulling up on my William Hill Mobile Sports app to see if the golf matchups are out yet, because I do want to talk about golf matchups if they come out, if they're out. And Nick does not quite have the matchups up yet. Nope. Just the odds on who's going to win it. All right, Josh, what else is going on? I guess, you know, the big boxing news, UFC, MMA, all that stuff, you know, Triple G and Canelo Alvarez, actually, they're going to try and do this again. You know, the numbers opened up at Triple G minus 160, Canelo's plus 140. I think that's about what the price was before the fight was canceled last time because of the positive test by Canelo Alvarez. Total number of rounds, 11.5. The over's 165, Josh. You know, looking at this 165, I might take a little flyer on the under here. Maybe not for a big bet, but, I mean, why not? I mean, these two guys, they're punchers. They're heavy hitters. And, you know, you just – I don't know, Josh. I mean, you're the boxing professional. You're the ones that gives me most of my boxing pitches, selections. You and the Lane boys, too, Terry and Tommy Lane, you know, the sons of the great Mills Lane, you know. But, and I haven't had them weigh in on this yet. Hopefully we'll get them on the show before the fight goes off. It goes off in September, but Triple G, Golovkin versus Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah, okay, I agree. Well, if you remember the last time, too, it seemed like there was such a consensus that there would be a knockout. Everyone knows, you know, Golovkin basically has knocked out almost all his opponents. Canelo has some power, too, and so the price was reversed on that. Everyone thought, you know, it was shady. I think the over-under was 9.5, and the under was favored because no one really saw it go into a decision. So now that we've seen it, and it actually did, because you see both guys actually have, you know, jaws of steel and they're hard to stop. Now you see it going the other way, where it's 11.5 with the over, a steep favorite. And this is where, like I said, if you look at the perspective that happened before the first fight, now you're right, any sort of stoppage comes with, you know, plus money payout. I think it could be the way to go. I still don't think, you know, you may not see a knockout, but again, anything could happen. Someone could, you know, again, right, any sort of DQ
headbutt.
Or any, right. So, I mean, you know, that's worth a look. You know, Triple G is a bigger favorite than he was in the first fight, where he's just barely favored. And it concerns me a little bit because I think he's given benefit of the doubt this time. Most people feel, right, that was scored a draw. Most people feel he was robbed of a decision, myself included. I will see his boxing in particular, you see that shaded in the renewed price. The point being is, you know, there's going to be quite a bit of scrutiny under the judges that are assigned that fight. You know, there's going to be quite a microscope under, you know, who they're picking and how the fight is scored. And I think the general thinking is, like anything else, Mark, as of other sports, everything like that, you know, not that there's a makeup call, so to speak, but the feeling of injustice that he was granted the first time, they think, okay, in the second fight, if it's close, right, these judges are probably going to be predisposed to giving Golovkin the benefit of the doubt. And I think that's the only reason you can explain the increase in the price, as he went up from, like, you know, minus 120 favorite or whatever to minus 160. And thing that concerns me, though, it was a good fight the first time. It was too bad that Canelo had the thing where it's suspension and PEDs and all that. Because my only concern is Golovkin's just not getting any younger. It's one of those things where, like, Floyd fought, you know, Oscar De La Hoya at the end of Oscar's career. You know, Golovkin's like 36 now, and there's quite a thing. You know, Canelo's still only in his mid-20s. And at some point, that age disparity matters. I mean, I still want to watch this rematch, but now I'm a little bit worried because if Golovkin has lost half a step, and he might have, Canelo, especially if he's, you know, artificially enhanced, could have an advantage there.
And then when you bet boxing, you have to take into those things into consideration, the judges, their frame of mind, you know, how previous matches went. Like, those things are all factors, especially in boxing, the state of boxing the way it is now. Don't you think it's, I mean, other than just
handicapping
that first initial reaction that you have for how you think the fight's going to go, you have to consider the other variables.
Right.
Oh, I got in. Astros down 2-0, kid.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
I just bet him in play. It was thinking as it's thinking.
It gave it to you as the guy's rounding the bases on
the home run.
Nice.
Usually you get the bad number, but
exactly.
You got the good number.
Let's usually see. It's like, oh, sorry, we've changed your price.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going back to what we're talking about in play, because we were just talking about kid loves to bet the Astros when they're behind 2-0 in the, they're down 2-0 in the fourth, and so I went to my Wim Hill mobile app and bet the Astros to win the game, and as I'm doing it, as I'm doing it, the guy hits a home run.
And what price did you get?
I got plus 170. And let's see what it went to right now. Plus in game. Let's see what the Astros are right now.
Minus 110 in game.
Minus 105.
Yeah. So I think I got the best of it there. But, Ken, so what do you think? So we're talking about, and Mark, to your point, with the boxing. That's why I agree. Because by and large, it's still the same two guys, same two skill sets. So why would the price change dramatically? Like I said, that's factored into it. People realize, oh, Golovkin got the short end of that decision. This time those judges are going to be, you know, predisposed to giving him benefit of the doubt. Say he won the first one anyway, and you often see that. You often see rematches where there's a real controversial decision, and suddenly the second one's like a wipeout, even though the fight looks the same. So I think we could see that again. I think we could see a fight that really looks a lot like the first one, and suddenly you'll see a decision for Golovkin.
It would not surprise me in the least.
So you like the decision, by Golovkin by decision?
I do. I said I just don't like the price, though, because he's getting a little long in the tooth. Although, to be fair, he's 36. It's not exactly, you know, it's not like he's, you know, Bernard Hopkins out there fighting at age 50. But still, to me, Canelo's youth advantage can't be underestimated because he's still only in his mid-20s.
Absolutely. You know, with all that, you know, as the fight gets closer, Nick Bogdanovich will put up the more, you know, other things, too, you know.
Right.
Knockouts, rounds, all kinds of stuff. And then probably some other prices, too, where you can get the fight to go under maybe 9.5 or something like that, you know. With all that being said, you know, I'm excited. You know, this is going to be a great fight. Any thoughts on Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder, Josh? You know, Anthony Joshua was plus 185 in that fight with Deontay Wilder at plus 165.
Yeah, it's huge. I'm just glad they're finally doing it, right? Kansas will have a heavyweight unification bout. The guys that people know about, they're finally starting to learn, right? Anthony Joshua is from the UK. Took a long time for people to catch on. Wilder's from the U.S., but hasn't really fought anybody. And finally, people are starting to see these guys fight in good matches, and they want to see this. So it's the first time we have a heavyweight super fight in ages. To me, it makes sense, Ken. From what I've heard, there's a built-in instant rematch clause, so it doesn't matter who wins or what happens. So they got Wilder to agree to the first one in the U.K., which is pretty much, you know, Joshua's insistence. They're going to, you know, sell 100,000 tickets there. You make $1 zillion, but they decided to sort of compromise in the sense that, okay, they'll do that one no matter what happens, rematch, you know, in Las Vegas. And, of course, whoever loses will have a chance to, you know, tie it up with some redemption there. To me, the price makes sense. Ken, it's actually come down a little bit. Most places at Joshua minus 2 were steeper to start with. And it's not surprising in that they're relatively evenly matched. They'll have the home court advantage, but you've got to, like, they're so even that you pretty much, I think, have to, you know, take a piece of the underdog. I think Joshua at this point is the more skilled guy. But remember, Ken, when we took a shot at a couple years ago when he fought Vladimir Klitschko and was a big favorite, and Klitschko almost knocked him out when Joshua was in there? It was a pretty crazy fight that we were watching. And
yes.
Klitschko was like plus 220 or whatever. I remember we laid the favorite, and it had us really nervous for a while because he was on the canvas and almost didn't get up. So it's been proven. His level of competition hasn't been the greatest, neither has Wilder's, but Joshua has been tested by a world-class opponent and survived it. Wilder, you know, by far is going to be facing his toughest test. So, again, I like, not surprised that Joshua is a fairly thick favorite, but there's been quite a bit of, you know, action already on Wilder.
And also Manny Pacquiao is fighting Matisse.
Yeah, Lucas Matisse. Yeah.
I just bet a three-teamer as we were talking. I bet Anthony Joshua minus 185, Golovkin minus 160, and Pacquiao minus $2. Right there.
What would that, what would that pay for you?
It's right there.
It's a good one.
20.
That's not too bad, about 3-1.
Almost. Yeah, 3-1. Three to one, three,
yeah,
and a half
just
to one.
About. So yeah,
I like my odds. Right. I like my
the
odds.
Only one, Ken. I mean, I like all those acceptors we kind of alluded to last week, the Pacquiao one, because I'm starting to think, you mentioned this yourself, like Miguel Cotto and others before him, when he's really at the end of the line, he might be just about to be kicked out the door there. I think Pacquiao's worn out his welcome a little bit. Matisse is a bit of a dangerous underdog in that one.
All right, anything on this UFC card, you guys? You like Josh?
Yeah, there is. In fact, but Ken, this is so next Saturday. It's a fight night. And, again, it's a bit of a thick price delay, but Leon Edwards, he's an up-and-coming prospect. Facing Cowboy Cerrone, who...
He's been getting his butt kicked.
Yes. He actually won his last one, which is good for him, or else he got, you know, he would have gotten cut from the UFC. But before that, he had lost four in a row. He's one victory away, though, Ken, from setting UFC's all-time record for wins. And if you hear any interviews with him, that matters a lot to him. I think the record is 20 that he shares with a couple guys right now, including Michael Bisping, who just retired. So Cowboy Cerrone somehow gets one more win. He'll set the, you know, have the history and everything. But Edwards, I believe, is from the UK. He's an up-and-comer, young. With a lot of athleticism, and honestly, Ken, from what I've seen from both sides, I've seen Edwards' last couple of fights. I think before you see this price go up too much, even minus 175 might be a little light. I think he takes care of Cerrone pretty easily, and I don't have a lot of other feels for fights on this card, but that main event one, I'd say take Edwards while 175 is available.
All right, and just as we're talking, the Astros tied it up, Josh. Plus 175.
You know I've got the plus $2 on the Royals. It's not.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot, buddy. I forgot. Right. My mistake, Josh. I'm not rooting against you. I only did it for principle.
Yeah, I got you.
Listen, I don't care losing my bet if it means you hitting your ticket.
Thanks.
No, seriously, I'll make that sacrifice. I'll make that sacrifice. And real quick, Jessica I versus Jessica Rose. That's also on this card. That's the craziest fight matchup I've ever seen, Josh. Yeah. Jessica I versus Jessica
right,
Rose.
Jessica Rose Clark. You know what? And I don't know much about them either. The other one, Tyson Pedro against Ovin St. Preux. Same thing. St. Preux could be a live underdog there. He's sort of like the crafty, well-known veteran. Pedro sort of the up-and-comer. And one thing about UFC, Ken, you want to – beware, most of the time, some of the times these veterans come through, but if they're relatively matched in skill and there's a significant age advantage, the youthful, opponent usually has the edge there. Speaking of which, do you guys happen to say, I know we talked, I think, a little bit about it last week, but you see CM Punk's second and last fight in the UFC? Yeah, that was a bit.
How'd he do?
Not well.
That was a good price to bet against him again.
Right. Because the other guy, they priced it a little bit, lighter because the other guy he fought didn't have much experience either, but. Yeah, not looking good.
He's done.
Yeah.
He gone. He got punked. He got punked. So, real quick, Josh, we got about 2 minutes, minute and a half. You have an angle on the Cormier-Miocic.
Oh, yeah, Stipe Miocic.
I can't even say
that. Like I said, Ken, this one's the Saturday, July 7th card, so a few weeks away here. There's actually some great fights on that card that we're looking at. I'll say one. Brian Ortega, by the way, we're looking at an underdog plus 165. There's a decent chance he beats Max Holloway. That's a good underdog. But this fight's been in the work for months, the heavyweight championship. Miocic hasn't been beaten forever. They actually ran out of opponents for him because they couldn't sell. He's a hard guy to sell fights with because he's kind of quiet, doesn't do much media. So they're looking for an opponent where you can basically market it based on the opponent. The guy they found was Daniel Cormier going up from light heavy 205. And he used to fight, for what it's worth, he used to fight at heavyweight, undefeated, I want to say 13-0 as a heavyweight. So he's not new to the realm of bigger guys, but Miocic is naturally huger than him. And this opened up months ago, Ken. I remember we talked about it a little bit. It was like -175 and +155 and Cormier to open. Here we are a couple months later, and Miocic's all the way up to -340 with Cormier at +280. Officially to where I think if you didn't get it early, you could only go Cormier now.
DC,
you only can do Cormier.
DC always finds a way to win these fights.
Remember, we've lost betting against Rumble Johnson. Right.
Yes.
Remember, we've bet against him a few times when the other guy was like the up-and-coming candidate. And we're like, yeah, Cormier looks a little out of shape. Yeah, let's go for it. And how many times are you like, he just finds a way to get his hand raised.
Yeah. He does, absolutely. And the guy, and Rumble Johnson, didn't he retire right after the fight?
He's since come back. Wish
I would have known
but
that.
But that was pathetic. And you know what? I didn't know going into that he was knocking lots of guys out. But apparently he had lost to Cormier before in the same fashion. Rumble Johnson's apparently notorious for when as soon as things start going against him, he gives up, which he did.
Yeah.
Remember against Cormier, he didn't knock him out in the first round. He just gave up in the second round, got submitted.
Yep. All right. Let's head off to our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue talking sports on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
We're back at the Club Cal Neva on ESPN 94.5 FM. Mark, one of the things you like to bet a lot is you've been betting the College World Series. I thought it starts tomorrow.
Arkansas.
You like Arkansas?
That's what I bet. The value is 9-1. I love these 9-1s.
So you bet Arkansas to win it?
I did. I bet Arkansas. I mean, Oregon State is the favorite, and they're, what, +$3 or something? 3-1 maybe?
Yeah, I think 350 possibly.
And, I mean, they are the best team. They have three first-rounders, the bat like 3, 4, 5 in their lineup. You know, great pitching, great bullpen. So I think they are the clear favorite. But they have a tough matchup right away with North Carolina. North Carolina is a good team. You know, Oregon State can find themselves in the loser's bracket, and then it's open to everybody. You know, Florida's the next best team by odds, and they're not that great of a team.
Yeah. Oregon State plays first game tomorrow. They're -260 with a total of 10.5. The overs is -125. It's kind of with the new bats in that stadium, it just that 10.5 is a lot of runs. I mean, you think that both teams are they're well rested, so you're going to get the ace for both teams. I mean, all you have to do is have one ace beyond Mark, and I mean you could be looking at a 7-3 ball game or a 6-3 ball game. I know you're kind of shaking your head, but all the numbers are 10.5, 11, 11, and 9. So I mean, looking at this, just off the top of my head, I'd probably be looking to play this game under, guys, to be honest with you, just because you have two aces going.
In the first round matchups, you got all the aces. So I mean,
that's my point.
I mean, that makes sense, a lot of sense, just because a lot of these. Yeah, there was a couple of these 20-10 games or whatever, like the Oklahoma game. But a lot of these games were pretty low scoring for the most part. Early on in these regionals and super regionals, until you get extended in those fifth or sixth games and then the scoring comes up because you're out of pitching. But, there was a lot of, 3-2 games.
Sure.
And I could see being the same. I probably get a hold off on the totals for the first couple games till I see how that stadium's playing, because there's been years where there's hardly any scoring there. Then there's been years where the ball jumps depending on, and a lot of that has to do with how they change the bat specifications every year or every other year. There's a lot of different variables in college baseball, but supposedly the bats are a little more live. I don't think liver's a word, because that'd be liver. My liver's hating me right now. Ken just signed for it, if you know what I mean.
He signed for your liver.
The good thing about your liver is it rejuvenates itself.
That's right. But you know what I'm saying. So, you got to see how the stadium's playing. And how.
No, you don't.
More likely.
I'm betting it under. I'm telling you right now. Look at the other games. 10.5 under -120. 9 under -120.
What's the Florida one?
11.5 under -120.
They got their stud going. He's a first-round draft pick.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm betting it under, Josh. Sight unseen. I will have an under on the Oregon State, North Carolina.
I'm a degenerate gambler. Can we already cover this?
You're DG.
I'll do it.
Josh?
No, it makes sense because you realize that number gets bloated. You're right, because college baseball has the reputation of offense.
Bullpens are rested.
Higher scoring games. But you're right, by and large, especially at this point in time, you're going to get the battle of the high draft picks. And you do see a lot of these college baseball games go down to the wire where it is just like anything else, 3-2, 2-1, where they're getting a lot of outs. That's the only thing, is those ones that look like batting practice, those ones that get out of hand, 20-12 or whatever, they'll, of course, going to fly over the total early on. But I think it's one of those things, Ken, where you said 6-3 or 7-3. I believe if you're on the right side of that, you're probably going to clear it with ease. You know what I mean? If it's a,
I think so
if
too.
It's a 4-2. Duel, you're right. 3-2, 4-3. Yeah.
first game of the College World Series, little jitters. I mean, just – and you have the second and the third odds-on favorites playing in the first round, you know. North Carolina's 6-1 to win it. Right now, Oregon State's 4-1. So, I mean, you have the two and the three lowest futures to win it. So they got to have pitching, right?
Exactly, which shows you if that's how they're qualified by the odds, right, they're going to be the better, the more well-rounded teams, you know, completely, which means – starts with pitching, of course.
Mark, you want to add anything to this?
No, I just
so two games tomorrow. Two
I
games
like
Sunday.
A lot of the teams. You know, I watched. Did you watch a lot of the games in the regional
yes.
supers?
Mm-hmm.
I watched almost all of them, so I have an idea.
I watched Oklahoma.
Some of these
get
teams, you know,
double dipped by yeah. Mississippi State. And I was not happy about that.
Yeah,
double dipped.
It's tough. These teams are evenly matched, is what I would say. So there's going to be some dogs upsetting some of these favorites. So I would look at the dogs. In a lot of these situations, I think if you bet the dogs during this tournament, you're going to end up making some money.
All right. Josh, World Cup, let's talk a little bit about that. I don't know a whole lot about it. I'll tell you what, 4 years ago, I was so excited about the World Cup when the U.S. was in it. I watched it, I bet it, and for some reason, I have a bitter taste in my mouth this year. I wish I could get out of it and actually find myself, you know, enthralled in it a little bit, but you know, obviously, when the U.S. does good and they have, you know, and they have success, you know, it creates more excitement for me personally. But you know, I'm looking at this right now. You guys said that
they're not going to win it.
Portugal, well, it's fun to see them compete on that stage.
Okay,
and bet on them.
It was just a question.
No, it was a statement.
I said why. That's a question.
You said why? Question mark. They aren't going to win it. Statement.
Yeah, so it's going to come down to the eight other teams in the world that
you're
still going to be in it for this
Mark,
one.
However, you're right. U.S. is not going to win it this year.
No, they're not.
So, no, they didn't make it. That's what we're
right.
saying. They didn't make the tournament.
I cannot hear what you're saying. It'd be like
I'm aggravated,
the Olympics or whatever that somehow eliminated the USA. Would you watch?
No.
You're right. Even though we're not a soccer power, it was cool when they at least made the dance, you know. Instead, you had all these Denmark. You had all these smaller nations that finished way ahead of us in soccer. Iceland, right. They're the biggest underdog ever. The tiniest nation to ever make the World Cup. Population 330,000. They made it and we couldn't. So, you know, so U.S. soccer becomes, you know, that really is a black eye on the reputation of the sport, which had been, you know, growing at least, you know, for a while. But that dude, Ken.
Lost a lot of steam with them not being
there. Right. That's actually a huge blow to the sport's progress in the U.S. Not making it. It sort of become the laughing stock, you know, the rest of the world. Having said that, it's a pretty star-laden, you know, lineup. Ken, all the international, you know, players with quite a bit of star power behind them are still in there. So it will make it, you know, pretty exciting finish. But I hear you because I'm not a soccer guy to begin with. Like I said, my job sort of compels me to know more about it now. But I will say when it gets right down to it, that's what I like. You know, the final matches, particularly, you know, realize the one that's for the title, you know, more the world cares about that than just about any other sporting event. You know what I mean? When it's to determine the World Cup title, I'll watch that. But and as with everything else William Hill puts on their menu, this props thing is pretty interesting. For instance, most players to score most goals in the entire tournament. Didn't Ronaldo get three today?
Three.
And he's 12-1.
Who
did? Or was.
And you could have bet him today to just score a goal.
Right.
Like you can bet these guys to score a goal.
Who got three today?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Ronaldo
and he started at 12-1 to have the most goals by the end of the tournament. So
Messier was the odds on favorite at 8-1. Neymar was 9-1. And then, Ronaldo was right there. He was number four at 12-1.
And I would have liked Field, right? Because somebody unknown was probably going to jump up there and have a good tournament. Field would have been 8-1.
I guess. I don't like. I could probably be touted on that. But, you know, if I'm going to do that, I don't know. Who's the Field? I don't know. The Field's probably such a long shot on this because, you know, the good teams, the odds on favorite, the Germanys, the Argentinas, the Spains, the Frances, and the Brazils, they're going to get the most games in because they're going to advance further. So, but I tell you what, at 12-1 for Ronaldo, I mean, I like your spot
like
there.
You want somebody like Costa. What's Costa?
Who?
Diego Costa. He's on Spain.
Oh, 22.
18-1 or 22-1. Spain's going to play six games probably.
Listen to kid dropping right. knowledge on soccer players' names.
Well, I'm just saying. Like
degenerate.
More proof.
And for what it's worth, I say, even though I don't enjoy watching soccer or whatever, but there's so many plus money outcomes. You pretty much have to, right? The chalk to win, it's going to be a huge price of everyone. The three-way betting, what they call it, right? Because there's lots of ties in
yes.
soccer. the underdog to win outright is huge as well. But that's the key thing is, like, if they just keep it close, right, you have, like, your run line in baseball and stuff, you can take a run. They have the thing in soccer is to play the draw. Because if a good team, you know, they feel like it's a win. If they somehow just make it 1-1, get out of there. A lot of teams, as you know, Mark, play real conservative. If it's 1-1, they'll play with the defense in the back because they just want to preserve that tie. They get the points or whatever with the chance to move out of the group. So the thing is, as you're, you know, handicapping
especially
each game.
Fourth game or third game
keep
where they need a tie.
Right. There's money line. There is goal line. You can lay 1.5 if you want with the favorite or 2.5 or whatever. But the general three-way is, you know, favorite, underdog, or the draw. And the draw is where the money comes in.
Totally. And in those four-team groups, you play three games each. You get to that third game, and you need 1 point to advance. You need a tie. You get tied, and then it's super defense for, like, 90 minutes. You know what I mean? And so a draw is –
it's
a
like
very
a
live bet if when they need 1 point.
So you guys said there's a huge mismatch tomorrow, too. Who was it?
No, I think it's Monday, and it was we're talking about
Belgium
against whoever. Yeah, it was minus 650, I believe.
All right, I'm on my mobile app, so let's just keep looking at this. Belgium, I'm looking for Belgium.
I do believe,
but you can bet a minus 2 goals or whatever.
Panama,
correct.
So you can play Belgium right now. They're minus 630. But Panama is 19-1. But you can lay 2 goals, like Mark said. You can lay 2 goals.
Which I did.
And it's at minus 110.
Which I did.
What do you think? Another one coming up, I believe, is tomorrow, Mark and Ken. Maybe you can check this out. But Germany-Mexico, which I believe has a good chance of being a draw. I think they had plus 275, I want to say.
Sorry.
The draw, 330.
Sweet.
It's a good bet.
Because Mexico is undervalued.
I agree.
Mexico's plus 630. Germany's minus 215. And the draw is plus 330.
Now how rare is that? To me, it's always funny, too, where the payback on the underdog's like way more than the chalk money line. You like never see that.
Although,
minus 2 on the favorite, plus 6 on the dog.
Germany's going to be angry. They just lost a friendly to Austria last week.
Yeah.
And they're warm up to this.
Kid dropping more soccer knowledge.
Yeah, especially the friendly.
A friendly to Austria.
I'm learning all about the friendlies. It's like you just play an exhibition.
Hey, guys.
I have a radio show like once a month.
Hey, guys, you want to go out and play soccer today? We'll just call it
a soccer. You have a soccer show? Where do I find that?
No, I'm saying radio show once a month. Like I show up once a month. Get it, Josh?
Kid.
Like
I do get it, but you didn't get my joke that was playing off of yours. But thanks for jumping in there. And patronizing like you did.
Yeah, like he always does. I checked the odds too today. The pack's still 12-1. 12-1 to win the NCAA title this year. I can't believe it. 12-1, guys.
I guess I'll bet it.
No, you can't. Now I got 100. I got 140-1. So I got 40-1 when it first opened. So make sure you do all your wagering with William Hill. Download the William Hill mobile app at www.williamhill.us. Week 1 football, NFL, and college lines, they're out, so make sure you can come down and look at those. And football season's right around the corner, everybody, so we'll see you next week on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action.